Counselor Accents Podcast. Two school counselors who love their jobs. Oh, and they happen to have Southern accents too. Bless their hearts.
I'm Kim Crumbly.
And you're also a ding dong. But
I am ding dong Kim Crumbly. I am Dane from this is Dong Laura.
And this is how we're starting.
This is how we're starting. It warrants this kind of beginning because, Kim, tell them what you did.
Well, I want to say we have a guest that is a saint. She has earned her wings today. She has been on the last 6 hours talking on our podcast. Not really. And I forgot to mash record. So
life is good.
Laura never lets me drive, and when I do get to drive, this is what happens. So I'm Kim Crumbly.
I'm Laura Rankhorn,
and together we are Counselor Accents, and we are ding dongs. We have an amazing guest. And Laura, tell a little bit about how we met Indra.
We were walking through the exhibit hall at ASCA, and this is just another reason why we need to attend these events like this. But we just happened to see Indra and stop by her booth because she's magnetic. I mean, that's just a great way to describe her. So we stopped by, and Indra, you started sharing your story with us, and we were captivated from the minute you started talking with us. And we just felt, in fact, I shared on our Instagram something like, have you ever met someone and just had an instant connection, and you just knew that this meeting was bigger than just a meeting? And that's how we felt when we met you. We went back to our room and we talked about you, and just, I don't know, it was like dynamite when we met you.
We could have been a little creepy and was like,
we are in general.
We're a little creepy. And we may have stalked you, and we're standing outside your hotel room.
it's so funny because, I mean, I was saying to Kim that, you know, I've actually never been a conference goer as long as I've been a counselor.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that was my first time attending ASCA, and I'm talking about the energy and just the connections were amazing, but how, you know, we all had to go to Vegas to make these type of connections, right?
Absolutely.
I went to Vegas to meet some people even from New Jersey, which is like incredible. So I agree. It was definitely an instant connection.
So Indra is a New Jersey's 2020 Counselor of the Year. And so we are very honored. And that's not even the story here. And that's pretty amazing.
And that's not even all. Are you going to tell more of her accolades?
You accolade away, Laura.
I say acclimates so much that sometimes I have to stop and think, is the word acclimate or is it accolade? Anyway, she is the 2020-2021 Life Changer of the Year nominee. That's huge. You published an article in ASCA, and you are also the author of 2 books.
I am.
That's amazing. And a mom and a school counselor. How do you do all this?
I've been pacing myself. Listen, that's one of the things that I always say to school counselors too. We got to pace ourselves, y'all.
You're right. Yes.
We got to pace ourselves.
Said the woman who's done all of these things. If I pace myself in a lower gear than I am now, I will be asleep. Absolutely. Met you and you gave us t-shirts, and we were so angry we don't have those on, but we said the next time we'll all have our Trust Your Journey t-shirt on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm upset that I don't have mine on either.
So tell us a little bit about Trust Your Journey and how that started, how this became your passion.
Okay. Well, especially from where I am locally, people know that I've always been an advocate about mental health support and advocacy and awareness. And because, you know, in my community, you know, our communities in some cases are downtrodden with trauma. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you lightly say like, oh, you know, people need to get some therapy. People need to get some therapy. And so that's been my message way before COVID. I believe that what happened, though, COVID really put a different sense of urgency on mental health support and awareness. And, you know, it kind of made this topic that, you know, we know as counselors, more trendy, But that's okay, yeah, though, because, you know what I mean? If you put a light on it, then, you know, nice. Now let's start having a dialogue. Let's start talking about it more. And yeah, so that's really how the whole Trust Your Journey project started, because myself, I, you know, we were all forced to be home, right, when we started, you know, quarantining. And I, even as an educator and a parent, my 10-year-old and I, after like the first 2 weeks of being home, we struggled. And I'm like, whoa, you know, we had to up the ante with our own personal strategies and tools that we use to keep our resilient tanks full. Because I said the journey, and again, that's my 10-year-old, I said the journey, like, we are not going to be home struggling. Like, you know, this is our safe space. So let's really start putting these strategies and tools to use. But I mean, again, now as a school counselor, I'd be remiss if I didn't now share the tools and the strategies with the families and the students who I serve. And so that's really how the whole project manifested itself. So, you know, we wrote the book together. The book also has a section in it where Journey highlights even, you know, some of the things that she did, some of the tools that she used to keep her own, you know, her resilient tank full. And there's also, her name is Olivia Edmonds. She's a teenager in the Atlantic County area, and she's also a budding artist. She has some illustrations in the book as well, and every illustration exemplifies different activities that, again, build resilience. It was really about developing resilience, because, I mean, I know if I was a parent of one, our resilient tank was full, was empty. It wasn't full. And I kept saying, Journey, we gotta support ourselves. We gotta support each other, because we can get through this. And I mean, it worked. And I mean, who knew that it was gonna really manifest into this? But I mean, I'm excited about the project, because ultimately I've always wanted to really redefine mental health support and advocacy and awareness in urban communities, building resilient families. That's the tag. that's like no other bells and whistles. Like, that's it.
So when you say project, what all is involved in that project?
So the book is actually, the language and everything's extremely intentional. The book is very, very easy to read, because we know sometimes that, you know, the families that we serve, they may not necessarily have time to read, because, you know, everybody's working, or everybody has different responsibilities. Everybody's not an avid reader. I mean, I know as much as the three of us have to read, you know, a lot of times we don't get to read leisurely as I would like to, you know, just because, you know, life gets in the way. And so the project is the book, which actually is aligned with the New Jersey curriculum, core curriculum standards, and then the apparel and accessories. And again, those are like your Trust Your Journey t-shirts, the mugs, the tote bags, because that's the tangible. A lot of times people like a cute tote bag or, you know, a t-shirt versus the book.
And the message is still there.
Right. I believe in affirmations, you know, daily affirmations. They help build resilience. And then the other piece of the project is, of course, me, the person, you know, because I'm always willing to do, you know, keynote speaking, you know, panel moderations, you know, podcasts.
Yeah.
So training with counselors and parents, with parent resource centers and all that kind of stuff.
Fantastic. And what is your message to your community? And what are some key points that you want to make sure your community knows?
I want our parents to know that we see them as partners. And I think a lot of times we're not using that language. And again, from whatever programming, because, you know, a lot of our parents and families may not necessarily have the fondest memories from their own experiences in school. So that's where a lot of that resistance is coming from. But it's like, okay, mom, dad, grandma, auntie, whoever the guardian is, you may not have had the best experience. You know, you can go all the way back to your third grade teacher, maybe saying some mean things, but this is not your experience now. This isn't your journey. We're talking about, you see what I'm saying? We're talking about the kid. And so a lot of times our parents don't even know what they don't know, but I want to share some tools with you so we can all start being a little more resilient. Like I was saying earlier, you know, we don't want generations of anxious kids. It's not that serious, when we can be more proactive instead of being reactive, and really giving the kids and their parents tools and strategies that are easy that they can use. That's what it's really about. And so I want the parents to be less resistant and more receptive so they can ultimately become more resilient. That's what it is. But they can't become resilient without the tools. And I think a lot of times they want to believe that we want to talk to them like this. And as counselors, we can't talk over them. We can't do that. We want to meet them right here. And that's why the language, even in a book, is extremely easy peasy, lemon squeezy. It's all easy.
Well, that's what struck me from your story, because you're very transparent about, hey, I struggled. And on our first take, Kim, the first round of this, you said something to the effect of, you are an educator. And I know you touched on it this time too. You're an educator. You have one child. And so you started thinking about, if you're struggling as an educator with one child, then what are other families going through when they're not in education, when they may have more than one child, when they're working nights and trying to do the teaching at the same time? So with that, you know, you didn't try to sugarcoat it and make it seem like you have it all together. And I think that's our nature a lot of times, is to act like we can balance this, we've got this. But I appreciate your honesty and your transparency. And I think that's what broke that barrier, really, because you talked about the barrier in or to counseling. I loved what you said about how sometimes parents are like, why are you talking to the counselor? You don't So then all of a sudden, because you're being transparent, you're an ally. We're in this together. Yeah. You're grabbing them by the arms, you know, hooking arms with them and saying, we're in this together. Let's figure this out.
So listen. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, it's so funny because, Laura, that's what happens. It starts off, it goes from like, why are you talking to the counselor? To like, then every time they got an issue, go talk to the counselor. So then the next, you know, boundary you have to create is that, you know, I can't act as a clinician here. Uh-huh. But then again, like as an ally, I'm going to be a resource. Use this.
Yes.
Call this number, you know, whether there's mobile response or Perform Care, or, you know, as you talk to the student, mom, did you know that he really wants to try karate? Like, you know what I mean? So then, like, you know, it starts to be that type of relationship where now the parents aren't resistant to anything. Like we say, you know, you're like the savior or the unicorn. And it's like, whatever Miss Owen says, you do. But that's where we want parents to be. That's the type of partnership we want.
Right.
Yeah.
You're a connector. And like you said, and you demonstrated, you can't talk over them. You're not standing at the podium telling them what they need to be doing or what they should be doing. You're saying we're doing it together. And I just think that's huge.
And not only that, but, you know, so many times as educators, we only see ourselves working with the student. Mm-hmm. But in order to help the student, sometimes we're going to have to go past and really, because we have them so long. And then I always say, I have them a short amount of time. They're with you the rest of their life, you know, the rest of your life. And so really, though, to make those big differences in our students' lives and their community is to reach out and help these parents that, and do it in a way, as Laura says, you're doing it just right because you're going alongside. And I think that's where sometimes we may miss the boat.
Yeah. And Kim, you know what? Even how when you and I were talking earlier about, it's nice that, you know, when, you know, counselors have that experience from like high school or elementary, when you've kind of done the entire gamut, because, you know, then you can use the language. Because I think a lot of times parents think that, you know, by the time they get to like seventh and eighth grade, they can kind of step off. Whoa, that's really when kids need you the most.
Yeah. And I don't think parents really under, and I didn't with my oldest when he was in high school. I now tell that to parents. They may be high schoolers, but they're in some ways, they're like babies. They're just as needful of you, if not more than they ever have been in high
school. Yes, just as needy. And so, you know, it's just,
but they need to know that.
Yep. And it's just easier to just be very honest and say that to parents now, you know, at the elementary level as a school counselor. So then again, now it's not received differently, you know, when they come to like, you know, high school orientation, and it's coming like that from the administrator. And it's like, well, what do you mean? I don't have to. You've already had that conversation, mom. You've had somebody say that to you before, that this is a partnership, that you have to come to the meetings, that you should be at orientation, that you should, you know, now, because then it goes from the one teacher to seven.
Yeah.
Right. Y'all see what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So the parents, they got to feel like they're a part. they got to understand that it's about partnership, and they have to have some type of level of accountability. And I think that sometimes they don't think that we want them in the loop, but we need you in the loop.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's absolutely so good.
Yeah. And I think you've caught the secret of that, of parents are, you know, sometimes we're afraid to deal with parents. Sometimes we get the parent call, but you know, it's all in your attitude about how am I going to react with the parent? How am I going to interact with the parent? How am I going to share with the parent and not let their frustrations make you angry? Don't, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you know what, Kim, the other thing too is even the best part about this whole Trust Your Journey project too, is that it teaches us as the professional to keep our own resilient tanks full, because we know how we feel. We know how we feel on that day where we've like given like a job, like everything.
Yeah.
And when I started going back to recount those days where I was feeling like dead tired, it's really because it was in those days where I like did it all for the parents. I did it all for the administrators. I did it all for the teachers. And I didn't hold anybody accountable.
Oh, that's so good.
I'm feeling pretty drained. My resilient tank is low. And it's because we aren't engaging, educating, empowering, equipping anybody else to do anything. And then we get mad as counselors. It's like, I feel like I do it all. Well, you are. You are doing it all.
Well, dummy, it's because you're doing it all.
You did do it all today. That's why you're exhausted. So we got to all get away from that, because if everybody really understands, you know, the language and the tools and the strategies, just imagine all of us using all the same language and the tools and the strategies, and they easy. It's like utopia. It's like a utopia. It like Gosh, really
we,
is.
We need to hear this right yeah. now, because let me just say, in the world that we're living in, and you're right, it's trendy now, the mental health, the SEL, which is great, but teachers are getting that we need more SEL in the classroom. But what the teachers are doing is turning it right around to us and saying, I ask everybody how they were feeling today, and now I'm sending them to you, and we've got to engage, educate, empower, and equip the teachers, not just the parents, because
everybody.
I'm so glad you said everybody. That. Because it's,
you yeah. know what? And I don't know how your schools are set up, but this is how I actually, and I don't want to say got away from that, but this is how I got away from that, because I do truly believe in SEL. But what I would do, I set the stage in the morning. So, you know, Miss So-and-so in third grade can't really pull me away from now my counselor related duties, or if I have other time sensitive projects, because I set the tone in the morning over the announcements. So then now I can hold the teacher accountable. Did you not hear today's quote? You know, today's objective, when they do the first 10 to 15 minutes.
Yes. Yes.
Your startup lesson, Miss So-and-so, in your startup lesson, you didn't build off today's quote. Your resilient tank is low, or your kids might not necessarily be in formation because you didn't, because you set the stage. As counselors, that's what I do every morning. If I don't do anything else, I didn't care if it was 70 kids in our building. I did the morning announcements every morning with a kid. They heard their peers' voice. We did the Pledge of Allegiance. It was a quote, whether it was from Mahatma Gandhi or Dr. Seuss. Everybody, this is how we gonna start. Anything after that, you see what I'm saying? But it at least gives them a starting point, because they'll pull you all day. But it's like, did you start off right? Did you start off with your cup half full or half empty? That's at the stage. I'm being for real.
It goes back to your four E's.
Yes.
That's your four E's.
It's the engage, educate, empower, and equip.
So what I'm hearing is you're doing that not just with parents, not just with students, you're doing it with your other educators, teachers, everybody gets the four E's.
They got to get the four E's. My 10-year-old was getting the four E's. Like, I'm being like so for real. Like, yeah. She doesn't even know, because the real deal is like, as we continue to talk like this, it becomes a lifestyle.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean? So everybody's getting the four E's, because you know, the real deal is, as school counselors, you know, we're like, accessible, but we have to start being accessible to an extent, or we gonna be real tired, and we all look really good right now, but like, just imagine being continually accessible, 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 like, and not creating any boundaries.
Yeah.
Who's going to keep our resilient tanks full? Right? My mom says that to me all the time. Who's the counselor's counselor?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Andra's the counselor's counselor.
Andra, you're helping us. Looking like a cat that has been ran over, worn out, and we've got to get our tanks full. But
In my defense, Kim, I just got my results from my thyroid. You know, it's been an ongoing.
Okay. And everybody on our show knows about her thyroid.
There's a reason I look like this. My numbers are way off. And so we're getting it fixed.
Okay.
All right. Cool.
Are we doing a GoFundMe? Is there a GoFundMe that goes along with this thyroid condition?
I think I can handle this one. Stay tuned.
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna be checking on you now because that's a good report, and your partner needed to know that.
Absolutely. Makes fun of me for looking like a dead cat, but now.
Now I kind of feel bad.
Medical.
It's medical. I kind of feel bad, but not really. you know, I think a lot of new counselors go in with. You know, guns a-blazing, and I'm going to do this, and I have to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And it's hard to back down from that. We want you to be busy, but be busy in the right way. And don't start off in a way that it's hard to back down from. And if you are an open door policy anytime, all the time, all day, then the tail is wagging the dog because you are not in control of your time, and that's not going to make for a very productive program.
Yeah. And you know what? Cause it's so funny. Like, I did a few things for Dr. Kara Eva at Rowan University, and she works with the graduate program. And so that cohort of new school counselors, God bless them, they'll be going out in the field, I guess, this fall. And one of their top questions even to me was, you know, how are they supposed to like really invite or take on, you know, the new school year? You know, you're not an intern anymore. Now you're getting jobs and you're going into the school. Yeah. The thing that I said to them, don't hang in a teacher's lounge. I said, as a school counselor, don't hang in a teacher's lounge. I said, because you know what? And I'm not saying don't leave your office, but I'm saying don't hang in the teacher's lounge. And they laughed, and I'm glad that they laughed. But I said, I'm being very serious. I said, because, you know, the principals, they don't hang in the teacher's lounge because in the principals and in most cases don't hang in the teacher's lounge because that's the lounge for the teachers. And it's almost kind of like, you know, have you ever been like, you know, maybe you're around your kids and they drop little hints, right?
Yeah.
You know, like Journey's birthday's around the corner. So now every 5 minutes it's like, little Amazon hints,
yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like, that's because I don't hang in her room often, but every time I hang in her room, it's like tons of hints.
Yes,
but see,
yes.
I don't want to hang in the 10-year-old rooms, too many hints, right?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like the analogy, like, you know, don't hang in the teacher's lounge, because when you hang into the teacher's lounge, a lot of their responsibilities, especially as a new counselor, become yours because they know you're new.
Yeah.
And it's not that you don't want to support them, but you don't want to support them in a way that, kind of undervalues your role as school counselor. Because at the end of the day, I always tell all of us that we are supposed to serve kids, not egos. And a lot of times in our professions, because of the bureaucracy or whatever the politics are, whatever the culture is that we fall, like you say, we fall quickly into serving the egos instead of serving the kids.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's because we're helpers.
Right.
Well, we can't do that. We have to remember the focus. And the focus is that we serve kids, not egos. And I say to them, and that's why I say to them, don't hang in the teacher's lounge. You'll find yourself instead of having a good time and building positive relationship with kids, with playing Uno and having like little, you know, lunch cohorts, and you'll find yourself doing detention. You're like, I'm supposed to do detention, but for real, you see how fast it happens, right, Laura? You're like, whoa, how'd I become this person? Can't do it.
Yeah.
And we've talked to counselors in the past who have come to us looking like, kind of like I do right now, I'm going to be honest. They just look very frazzled.
And their thyroid's not messed up.
It's not medical for them. But they come to us and they are so just all over the place, worn out. And what Kim and I see is they have done for the teachers, I mean, everything short of, and sometimes including, swept their floor, vacuumed their floor. And it's just like with our own personal children, the more you do for them, all you're doing is enabling. You're not equipping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like Kim said, it's hard to back off sometimes.
But gosh, I love the family and community. That I think that's, you know, Laura and I always talk about bringing a fresh word. And I think a lot of times we're not hearing enough about what we can do with families and community. Yeah. And you had shared in our previous podcast that no one will ever see. Except for me and you, Laura. Some very practical tips. And I know we're almost out of time here, but you talked about some things that just some practical conversations that we can have with parents or maybe do trainings on. And that's kind of went through my mind. One of those you were talking about is setting routine, helping parents understand how important routines are in students' lives. What were some of those things that we talked about in our previous podcast that might be a great way for a school counselor who's wanting to do some parent training or to reach out to parents? What are some topics that you were talking about earlier? And we can get the book. That's going to help. We're going to do a link to the book. But tell me some of the things we were talking about.
Well, I was saying, even as we, you know, prepare to go back to school, everybody's preparing to go back to school within the next few weeks or so, is that, you know, language is important. And we don't want our kids to dread going back into the building because our kids need it. And, you know, as much as our kids may think that they had a great time at home, they may not necessarily be able to now articulate what it means for them to go back. But the social emotional learning part is extremely important, even a direct instructional support from teachers at this point. Our kids haven't been in school in 2 years. Okay. And so we don't want to use dreadful type of language. We want to have them excited about going to the dollar store and getting their notebooks and their school supplies. So have the kids involved and engaged in that process. We want them, you know, looking forward to putting their school uniforms back on, or, you know, all those great things that, you know, the kids really used to be excited about, right?
Yeah.
That COVID kind of like, you know, changed us on. And today, like I was saying to you, I couldn't wait to meet with you two today. But that's what Journey and I did. Even in the rain, I didn't let the rain be an excuse. I found a couple gift cards from Staples that had some money on it. And I knew she already had her little money ready, but I matched it, you know, and we went and we got all of her supplies. And that's what I was saying too earlier. If you're an educator, Staples is offering us 20% off. So use that. Make sure you get your kids supplies and let them be a part of that process. That's easy. That's a strategy. Or I'm saying too, we got to be very honest. We know a lot of the families that we serve, there is no bedtime routine. I'm talking to parents about developing a bedtime routine. And I know a lot of times as parents, we feel guilty with making our kids go to bed at a certain time. But I truly and honestly believe, and the research shows and will show us too, that kids need a certain amount of rest. It works against childhood obesity. It works against attention deficit issues. It works against focus. Our kids need a certain amount of rest. They deserve it. And again, in a moment of transparency, I was that parent allowing Journey to stay up as late as she want. And I knew that it just didn't work for us. It made us late for school. It's like, it didn't matter what time she went up, she went to bed. Cause you know, kids, they typically still wake up early. So she just wasn't getting an adequate amount of sleep. And the mornings were dreadful. So it's like, okay, so why am I allowing her to stay up late? It's like not even a win-win situation. You're like, you know, it's not like I'm allowing her to stay up as late as she wants. She's waking up like a, okay, morning, mommy. But now her body, she's through that training, through setting a routine, her body, she's laying herself down at 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And knowing that she's rested because she's waking up on her own. It's not a fight in the morning. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So those little things that even though people think they don't count and they don't matter, they do. So those were like some of the routines that I was saying. I mean, again, because I don't really ever want to overwhelm parents because, I mean, it's a big deal to incorporate or try to develop routines that you haven't had in place before. So just those two things, changing the language and starting a bedtime routine right now. And then, you know what I would say too? Now, again, this is probably based on, you know, what everybody's coins are looking like. But I would even start I would even start doing some extra vitamins, you know, boost their immune systems. But, you know, that doesn't take a lot of money either. You know what my mom told me to do years ago when I wanted to kind of boost Journey's immune system? Put Vicks on her feet and put socks on, you know.
I've heard that. I thought that was just a Southern thing. So that's
Yeah. So like, you know, start making sure that they're drinking more water and getting dressed and getting, you know, the right amount of rest now. You know, we don't want them to, as soon as they get in, you know, we're all kind of, you know, prone to get a little sick anyway, within those first 2 weeks or so, because we haven't maybe been around a lot of people. I know I'm drinking my airborne now.
Yeah.
Smart.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take a picture of elderberry or Sambuco. So, you know, we want them to do that too.
That's pretty neat. And just being comfortable around your parents and getting to know your parents and your community. I think you've inspired us today to do some of that. And we are going to link whatever you would like for us to link about your wonderful Trust Your Journey. And so great to meet you. And thank you for forgiving me. You're so kind.
Listen, you know what I was just about to say, ladies? This is like, been one of the best Fridays in a while.
Oh,
you know what I mean? This didn't feel like work. It's nice that, you know, we met briefly in Vegas and now we just spent like the last like 2 hours together. So the universe is good.
We have. And I think we did it for a 30-minute recording.
A Friday. So, you know, the weekend is loading. I love y'all. I thank you so much for, you know, just the connection, for continuing to support me as I trust my own journey. Laura, you're beautiful. Kim, you're beautiful. Y'all are beautiful. And I hope that we stay connected past this for real.
Well, yes, I am in love. And I do hope that we do get to do this, Indra, and spend some time together and do some collaboration possibly and meet up again at ASCA in Austin.
Listen. I'm excited. I'm going to be there.
So we're looking forward to meeting you and seeing you in person again.
Yes,
absolutely. Laura, any other final words and thoughts?
I just want you to be my life coach and my, like,
that is a great right there.
Yeah.
That's your life coach. And
because she can tell me what I need to hear, but in such a nice way that
I know it. And that's,
I'd actually do what she tells me to do, you know?
I know. I love it. So, hey, you go have fun with your cousin.
Tell your cousin, thank you for being so forgiving of Kim's stupidity.
I knew she wouldn't hold any punches. All right, guys, y'all have a great weekend.
Yes. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So since no one got to hear this because it was on take one, I'm just going to say that if you were not watching the video version of that, Indra is fabulous. Like, she looks fabulous. She exudes fabulousness. She looked like a rock star, movie star.
Absolutely.
Like she said, this is just me. Like, I'm not fixed up. This is us fixed up, Kim. And we look like
she is so humble. She was so humble and really sweet. Cause I know I talked to her for 6 days straight because I was recording and we just talked and it was so good. And then it was really good though.
It was
really good. So what do you have as a tip, trick, tip, talk? I've got a joke. A student told me a joke today, and I'm going to tell this joke. So a wife calls her husband, and she says, "Honey, be so careful on the interstate because some idiot is driving the wrong way." And he said, "Oh, it's worse than you think, honey. It's hundreds driving the wrong way." I think it'd been better if I said the wrong direction.
No, it was funny.
A student told me that. I thought it was really good.
I've heard that before, but you're just so cute when you tell it. So
I'm a horrible joke teller.
Well, you know,
I have another one about cows, but I'm going to hold off because I'm a little, I'm a little shaky on details.
I have one about a chicken.
Okay, go ahead. Okay.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
To get to the other side?
Because.
You're an idiot.
What's funny is I'm still here at school. It's 5 o'clock. It's past 5 o'clock in the afternoon, but I'm still here at school. And if anybody else is here working, they're going to wonder if a chicken or did it not sound like a chicken?
It sounded just like a chicken. And you are so talented on your animal sounds because you do a dolphin.
Go ahead. I can't because okay. Then somebody's already searching for a loose chicken. I don't want to search for a loose dolphin.
I think that we are now delirious, and on that, we are calling it a day.